Om Shanti. Good morning to all of you. From today onwards, your plenary session will be started. And welcome to the first plenary session. The theme is Spiritual Reality, Missing Dimension in Research and Development. And we have our eminent personalities and speakers here. They are going to share their experiences and their opinions on this topic, and we will have a very good live chit chat, and it will be a brainstorming session, and hope you all of you will be enjoying. Please, those who are sitting at the back, aage aa jaiye, please aage aa jaiye. Those who are sitting at the back of the hall, please come to the front. First, I would like to invite our guests on the dais. And today, the keynote address is given by going to invite Dr. Ram Jain from Bangalore, Scientist C, Center for Consciousness Studies, Department of Neurophysiology, NIMHANS, Bangalore. Please come on the stage. Give a small clap, okay? Encouraging. And then, our Professor Avinash Chandra Pandey, Director, IUAC and IUCOS, New Delhi. Please come on the stage. And today's session chief guest, Padma Vibhushan, Dr. Raghunath Mashikarji, please come on the stage. And he is the former DG, CSIR, President GRA, Chairman INIF, Pune. Please come on the stage. And today's session's chairperson, Mr. Parthosarathy Mukherjee ji, Chief Technology Officer, Siddal System India and USA. Please come on the stage. And today we are going to practice Rajyoga meditation again by our lovely sister from Delhi. She is a Rajyoga teacher and local chapter coordinator of SPARC. Please come on the stage, sister. And the session will be started by our Professor Avinash Chandra Pandey ji. Please. I request Brahma Kumari sisters to welcome the guests with flowers and bouquets. Dr. Raghunath Mashilkar ji, please come on the stage. Kahambi ho, please come on the stage. I am inviting our divine brother, Professor Avinash Chandra Pandey ji, to deliver his speech in front of all of you.
Om Shanti. जैसा आप जानते हैं कि भारतवर्ष में जो भारतीय ज्ञान परंपरा है वह बहुत समृद्ध है और योग ध्यान या जिसको आप मेडिटेशन कहते हैं वो दुनिया में और कहीं नहीं होकर उसकी उत्पत्ति का जो केंद्र है वो भारतवर्ष है। ज्ञान परंपरा में जब आप विस्तृत अध्ययन करें तो आपको ज्ञात होगा कि प्रारंभ में जो दार्शनिकों का काम था और जो वैज्ञानिकों का काम था वो लगभग एक जैसा था, जिसको हम लोग ऋषि परंपरा कहते हैं। लेकिन कालांतर में जब अधुनातन उपकरण आपके समक्ष आ गए तो जो दार्शनिक चिंतन था, दो मुख्य प्रश्न थे। प्रश्न तो अनेक थे, दो मुख्य प्रश्न थे कि शून्य क्या है और अनंत क्या है। अर्थात एक दूसरे संदर्भ में कि बिल्डिंग ब्लॉक जो जिससे ये मटेरियल बनता है, जो पदार्थ है, उसका सबसे सूक्ष्मतम बिंदु क्या है और ये जो ब्रह्मांड है अनंत, उसका विस्तार क्या है। इन दोनों को अध्ययन करने के लिए दो नए केंद्र बने, एक जिसको न्यूक्लियर साइंस सेंटर, जहां आज जिसका नाम IUAC है, और दूसरा केंद्र पुणे में इंटर यूनिवर्सिटी सेंटर फॉर एस्ट्रोनॉमी एंड एस्ट्रोफिजिक्स। और आप जानते हैं पुनः कि इन दोनों ही विधाओं में अगर आपको वैज्ञानिक प्रयोग करने हैं तो आपको प्रक्षेपण यान चाहिए, प्रोजेक्टाइल चाहिए। जैसे अभी आपने चंद्रयान 3 पर देखा कि एक प्रोजेक्टाइल एक चंद्रमा की कक्षा में एक उपग्रह स्थापित किया गया और वहां से फिर चंद्रमा की सतह पर हम लोग पहुंचे। एक वह प्रक्षेपण यान जो कि स्थूल जगत में आपको दिखता है और वो एक्सप्लोर करता है कि ब्रह्मांड का विस्तार क्या है, हम कितनी दूर तक फैले हैं, कहां तक हमारा अंत क्या है, कहां से शुरू होता है, कहां गैलेक्सीज कौन सी हैं, कैसे उनके, और अभी उस क्रम में और भी कई प्रक्षेपण हो रहे हैं। दूसरा जो सूक्ष्म जगत की तरफ माइक्रोस्कोपिक वर्ल्ड में है वो है कि आप ऐसे प्रक्षेपण यान भेजिए जो कि पदार्थ के अंदर प्रवेश कर सके। तो प्रयोग शुरू हुए अल्फा पार्टिकल्स के साथ में, और आज बड़े बड़े कोलाइडर्स हैं जिनमें आपने हैड्रॉन कोलाइडर का नाम सुना होगा, सर्न में जहां पर गॉड पार्टिकल के नाम से कुछ खोज की बात की गई। उसी क्रम में एक एक्सेलरेटर जो इलाहाबाद हमारे नई दिल्ली में है वह उसी क्रम का एक प्रायोगिक संस्थान है जहां पर हम प्रयोग करते हैं कि कैसे जाना जा सके कि नाभिकीय संरचना क्या है और संक्रियाएं क्या हैं। तीसरा प्रश्न अनुत्तरित था, बहुत दिनों तक अनुत्तरित है, अभी भी अनुत्तरित है, वह है चेतनता क्या है। आप जानते हैं कि एक शरीर है, जब तक इसके अंदर चेतनता है तो आप इस शरीर के साथ में हम आपके समक्ष खड़े हैं। ऐसा क्या होता है कि कौन सी चीज ऐसी जाती है जिसके बाद यह शरीर नश्वर, यानी कि शरीर का पदार्थ में और थोड़ी देर बाद इसका डिकम्पोजिशन शुरू हो जाता है। तो जो चेतनता है, चैतन्य अवस्था है, वह किस कारण से, कॉन्शियसनेस क्या है, इसके बारे में जानना। और जानना तो बड़ा मुश्किल है क्योंकि यहां प्रक्षेपण आप ऐसा नहीं कर सकते कि मस्तिष्क में कोई चीज आप प्रवेश करा दें या शरीर में और सूक्ष्म जो चेतन भाग है उसको समझ सकें। लेकिन जो आपके पास ये विधा है, इस विधा से जो हम अनुभूति करते हैं और उस अनुभूति में जब हमने अपने को ध्यानमग्न कर लिया योग के द्वारा, तो तमाम ऐसी चीजें हैं जो इंस्ट्रूमेंट्स के द्वारा आपको नहीं दिखाई पड़ती लेकिन आप उनका अनुभव कर सकते हैं। और वो अनुभव एकांतिक है, वो आपका स्वयं का व्यक्तिगत अनुभव है। उस व्यक्तिगत अनुभव को अगर आप वर्णन करना चाहें तो संभव है कि वह आप उसका वर्णन लिख करके, पढ़ करके, समझा कर नहीं कर सकते क्योंकि वह अनुभव आपका स्वयं का एकांतिक अनुभव है। इस एक्सपीरियंशियल नॉलेज को कैसे प्राप्त किया जाए, और इस एक्सपीरियंशियल नॉलेज को प्राप्त करने के साथ हम इसका कैसे, और आज के समय में जब हम बात करते हैं तो प्रश्न कुतर्क पर आता है, विचार विमर्श पर आता है, पूछा जाता है कि ये करने से होगा क्या। तो हमको वैज्ञानिक विधियों से इसको सिद्ध करना पड़ सकता है कि ये जो हम कर रहे हैं ये एकांतिक अनुभव, इसकी अनुभूति कब किसी को प्राप्त होगी। जब तक आप कोई प्रयोग करके और विज्ञान की कसौटी पर रिप्रोड्यूसिबल ना हो, उसको पुनः दोबारा उसको कर ना सके, तब तक वो विज्ञान की कसौटी पर खरा नहीं उतरता। इसी को लक्ष्य करते हुए एक तीसरा संस्थान है, तो और भी कई संस्थान, लेकिन उसी कड़ी में इस गूढ़ प्रश्न का उत्तर देने के लिए इंटर यूनिवर्सिटी सेंटर फॉर योगिक साइंसेज की स्थापना की गई। और उसका उद्देश्य था कि देश भर में जितने भी प्रैक्टिशनर्स हैं जो योगिक एक्सरसाइजेस करते हैं, वह हम उनके अंदर प्रविष्ट तो नहीं कर सकते लेकिन उनके लंबे अभ्यास के बाद उनके शरीर में, ऑर्गन्स में और विशेष करके मस्तिष्क में क्या परिवर्तन होता है, क्या उसको हम रिकॉर्ड कर सकते हैं। इस अभिधारणा के साथ एक ऐसी व्यवस्था देना जिसमें कि देश भर के अनुसंधानकर्ता आकर के जुड़े और जुड़ करके अपने ज्ञान का विस्तार इस दृष्टिकोण से करें जो कि कॉज एंड इफेक्ट, कार्य कारण सिद्धांत से उसको स्थापित करें, जिससे केवल अपने ही देश में नहीं इसका लाभ दूसरे देशों के लोग भी उठा सकें। विगत कई वर्षों में जो अनुसंधान हुए हैं उसमें यह प्रामाणिक रूप से सिद्ध हुआ है कि यदि आप लंबे समय तक मेडिटेट करते हैं, योगा का प्रयोग करते हैं, राजयोगा करते हैं, तो आपके हार्डवेयर में परिवर्तन होता है। कल हम लोग बात कर रहे थे, एक छोटी सी मोनो एक्ट आपके समक्ष प्रस्तुत भी हुआ, और उस मोनो एक्ट के द्वारा ये बताया गया कि जो आपके मन का अंधकार है, अब उस अंधकार का कैसे प्रकाशित करेंगे, उसमें प्रकाश डाल करके उस आवरण को कैसे हटाएंगे जिससे कि आप वहां पहुंच सकें जहां पर सभी ज्ञान का स्रोत, एक ऐसा दीप्तमान स्रोत उपलब्ध है जिससे आपका साक्षात्कार हो सके, जिससे आप सत्य समझ सकें, जान सकें, यह प्रयास कैसे हो। तो उसी क्रम में अगर आप देखें तो जो परिणाम आए हैं वैज्ञानिक, हम ढेर सारे परिणामों की व्याख्या यहाँ नहीं करेंगे, और हमने जानबूझ करके पीपीटी का उपयोग नहीं किया, केवल कुछ उदाहरण एक उदाहरण है कि जब आप लंबे समय तक अभ्यास करते हैं, योगिक एक्सरसाइजेस करते हैं, तो जो अधुनातन जो उपकरण आपके पास उपलब्ध हैं, और अभी भी आप ये मान के चलिए कि वो उपकरण 20 वर्ष लगेंगे या उससे भी अधिक वर्ष लगेंगे जब आप उन चीजों को समझ सकें जो आपके मस्तिष्क में हार्डवेयर में परिवर्तन हो रहा हो। तो जो पाया गया है वो ये पाया गया है कि एक लंबे समय तक अगर आप अभ्यास करते हैं तो मस्तिष्क में जो आपका हार्डवेयर है उस हार्डवेयर में कॉर्टिकल थिकनेस बढ़ती है, मोटाई बढ़ती है कॉर्टेक्स की, और एक समय आता है जब उस थिकनेस की प्राप्ति के बाद आपको विशेष प्रकार के एकांतिक अनुभव होने लगते हैं, एक्सपीरियंशियल नॉलेज होने लगते हैं। ये हो सकता है कि क्षणिक एक स्पाइक की तरह आए जिसको हम कहते हैं कि बोधिसत्व, यानी कि थोड़ी देर के लिए आपको एक अनुभूति हुई। आप उस अनुभूति की अवस्था में कितनी देर तक रह सकते हैं, बुद्धत्व की प्राप्ति कर सकते हैं, यानी कि उस देर अवस्था में जो प्लेट्याव है वो लंबे समय तक आपके साथ रहे, इसके लिए और आपको अभ्यास करना पड़ेगा। और इसीलिए हमने कल कहा था कि आपका जो शरीर है वो एक प्रयोगशाला है, और ये प्रयोगशाला कहीं और जाके कहीं किसी दूसरी जगह उसका प्रयोग नहीं करना है, बल्कि आपको स्वयं पर प्रयोग करना है, उन विधियों का प्रयोग करना है। और आप ये भी महत्वपूर्ण याद रखिए, महत्वपूर्ण इसलिए है क्योंकि पहले कहा जाता था ना कि जब कोई यज्ञ होता था लोग अपने इस प्रकार की सिद्धियां प्राप्त करते थे, सिद्धियां का मतलब उस स्टेट को प्राप्त करते थे जब वो बुद्धत्व को प्राप्त कर लें, उस समय उनके कार्य में बाधा पहुंचाई जाती थी, तो बाधा पहुंचाते समय वो खुद सक्षम थे, उनका विनाश कर सकते थे, लेकिन वो अपने एक क्षण का भी दुरुपयोग नहीं करना चाहते थे कि किसी अन्य कार्य में उनका ध्यान बटे, तो अन्य लोग आकर के उनकी मदद करते थे। और एक एक क्षण आप जैसे ही उसमें आप उस विधा के साथ पारंगत होंगे, उसमें आगे बढ़ेंगे, तो आपको लगेगा कि ये जो जीवन है इसका प्रत्येक क्षण कितना अमूल्य है कि उसका सदुपयोग आप किस हद तक कर सकें कि आप उस चरम अवस्था की प्राप्ति कर सकें। अब ये बात तो रही आपके एकांतिक अनुभव की, लेकिन आने वाले वर्षों में लोगों के मन में चिंता थी कि जो सबकॉन्शियस माइंड है, आपका अवचेतन मन है, जो आप स्वप्न देखते हैं या कभी कभी ऐसी घटनाएं घटती हैं। कल हमारे बीच में माननीय सदस्य थी जिन्होंने बताया कि उनको आना पड़ा यहाँ पर, उसी बीच में किसी की चिकित्सकीय उपचार में उनकी बच्ची थी, लेकिन उन्होंने अंदर से सकारात्मक एक प्रण किया कि हमको जाना है, और दोनों बातें ऐसी थी कि दोनों तरफ से सकारात्मकता थी, और जब यहाँ पहुंची तो उनको सूचना मिली कि वो बच्ची स्वस्थ हो रही है पीजीआई में। यह जो आपस में जुड़ी हुई घटनाएं हैं जिसको एंटेंगलमेंट कहते हैं, और एंटेंगलमेंट का संदर्भ क्वांटम कॉन्शियसनेस, हालांकि इस पर कई वैज्ञानिकों का मत भिन्न भी है कि क्वांटम कॉन्शियसनेस या जो चेतना की जो अभिधारणा है उसको हम लोग विज्ञान के द्वारा कैसे समझें। तो अभी हाल में एक 2022 में नोबेल प्राइज मिला, तीन वैज्ञानिकों ने इस क्वांटम एंटेंगलमेंट को, टेलीपोर्टेशन को, यानी कि ऐसे एक समझिए कि एक एक्सपेरिमेंट है जिसमें एक मशीन है, इस मशीन से एक बार में एक काली गेंद एक सफ़ेद गेंद निकलती है, लोकल है, यहाँ देख रहे हैं आप। तो जैसे ही काली गेंद उसने प्रक्षेपित किया, आपको पता है कि अगली गेंद सफ़ेद आने वाली है, यानी कि ये दोनों एक दूसरे के साथ अंतः संबंधित घटनाएं हैं। लेकिन नॉन लोकल अगल हो, यानी कि बहुत दूर कोई घटना घट रही हो, यहां आपके मन में भी कोई विचार आ रहा हो और दूसरी तरफ कहीं दूसरा कोई बैठा हुआ है, उसके विचारों के साथ में कहीं पर सुपरपोजिशन हो, कहीं पर अध्यारोपण हो उन विचारों का, और वो विचार लगभग मेल खाते हो, इसका कैसे आप समाधान ढूंढेंगे। तो इसके लिए आप ऐसे मान के चलिए कि हमारा जो शरीर है या जो हम उपक्रम करते हैं, हम लोग ज़्यादातर इसके कई लेयर्स हैं। एक लेयर है ग्रॉस लेयर, ग्रॉस लेयर का मतलब ऊपर, जबकि आप सारी संज्ञानात्मक कैपेबिलिटीज आपके अंदर हैं, आप कॉग्निटिव डेवलप कर चुके हैं, जबकि आपके मस्तिष्क में जो क्रेनियल कैपेसिटी है वो बढ़ गई है, जो ग्रे मैटर है वो अच्छा खासा है, बढ़ गया है तब से जब से हमने प्रारंभ किया होमो सैपियंस की जो जर्नी हमने प्रारंभ की। और इसके बावजूद जो विषयों के प्रति हमारी आसक्ति है, विषयों का मतलब निद्रा में खाना पीना और तमाम तरह की बातें हैं, और एक तरह से वो दूसरी बीमारी है कि हम लोग धन एकत्रित करना, फिर एक मकान के बाद दूसरा, दूसरे के बाद चौथा, इसी में लगे रहते हैं। अब इसके बाद दूसरा लेयर है, तब जब आपके पास एकाग्र हो, आप इन चीजों से, इन विषयों से आप अपने को मुक्त करें, और जब मुक्त करेंगे तो दूसरे लेयर पर आप आएंगे, और वो लेयर होगा विचारों का। जब विचार आपके मन में आते हैं कभी, तो कभी आप विचार किसी के बारे में आप सोचते हैं, वो समानुभूति भी हो सकती है, सहानुभूति भी हो सकती है। मोस्टली सहानुभूति यानी सिंपैथेटिक होते हैं, आप देखते हैं किसी के साथ कोई घटना घट रही है, उसको चोट लगी तो आपको भी लगता है कि कहीं कठिनाई है। तो आपके अंदर जब विचार आते हैं तो तीसरे लेवल पर आप आते हैं कि आप के अंदर एक प्रकार की एक भाव उत्पन्न होता है, और कभी कभी आप रोने लगते हैं या हंसने लगते हैं। तो विचार आना और विचार के साथ उसका जो नेक्स्ट लेयर है कि आप उसके साथ में थोड़ी देर के लिए, और दोनों एक साथ नहीं होते। आप ये कह सकते हैं कि हम तो सोच सोच के रोते हैं, सोच सोच के हंसते हैं, लेकिन जब आपके पास विचार आते हैं तब, और विचार आने के बाद जिस जो आपके अंदर मनोवेग उत्पन्न होता है, वो दोनों, ये तीसरा लेयर हो गया। चौथा लेयर और भी डीप है, जिसको हम कहते हैं लाइफ का ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम। आपने सबने कंप्यूटर, सबके हाथ में मोबाइल है, उसका OS होता है, ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम होता है। तो एनालॉजी भी हम वही लेते हैं जिससे कि आप आज के कॉमन पैरलेंस की भाषा चुनें और उससे उसको समझ सकें। ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम पर जब आप पहुंचेंगे, तो ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम पर जैसे आप पहुंचे, यानी कि उस लेयर तक पहुंचे, और ये अभ्यास के द्वारा, तो जो कल बात हो रही थी कि आपने एक नारियल के उस कवर को उतार दिया, आप उस धवल कर्नल पर पहुंच गए, और तब आपने उसका अनुभूति इस प्रकार करना शुरू किया कि आप फोर्थ स्टेट जो कि कर्नल है, जो कि लाइफ ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम है, वहां पहुंचे। जब लाइफ ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम पर आप पहुंचेंगे तो करुणा, पैशन जिसकी बात है, यानी कि जिसके बारे में हम लगभग संवेदन शून्य हो चुके थे कि किसी के साथ कोई घटने वाली घटना या किसी के साथ होने वाली कोई सुखद या दुखद घटना से मेरा कोई संबंध नहीं था, वह अब मेरा अपना हो जाता है। और जैसे ही ये भाव आता है, मेरा अपना आ जाता है, तब यहाँ पर नॉन लोकल फिनोमेना, जिसकी बात हम क्वांटम कॉन्शियसनेस की बात कर रहे थे, जो एंटेंगलमेंट के द्वारा इस बात को समझने की चेष्टा कर रहे थे, वहां पर आप इसका उत्तर ढूंढ सकते हैं। उत्तर ढूंढना आसान नहीं है, और उत्तर ढूंढने के लिए अपना जो जीवन है उसको व्यर्थ करना कि हम पहले उत्तर पा जाएंगे, जब उसका वैज्ञानिक समाधान आपके पास मिल जाएगा तब हम आप उसको प्रैक्टिस करेंगे, कि बजाय आप हर क्षण का इस प्रकार उपयोग करें जिससे कि आप उस उच्चतम अवस्था में पहुंच सकें, और उच्चतम अवस्था में पहुंचने के बाद केवल पहुंचना ही पर्याप्त नहीं है, उस पर आप टिके रहें, बुद्धत्व की प्राप्ति हो। और बुद्धत्व की प्राप्ति के लिए जो यह मार्ग है, यह सहज मार्ग है, सहज एक तरह से सहज है, आपको लगेगा कि घंटों मेडिटेट करिए तब जाके आप पहुंचेंगे, लेकिन जो आपकी प्राप्तियां हैं, जो रिसीट्स हैं ऑफ दिस काइंड ऑफ इन्वेस्टमेंट, दे आर एनॉर्मस। तो शायद यह जो संगम है, समागम है विज्ञान और अध्यात्म का, वही संदर्भ में बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण और प्रासंगिक भी है। आप जानते होंगे कि जब एक हवाई यात्रा के दौरान स्वामी विवेकानंद जी और एक पूंजीपति JRD टाटा जी का थोड़ी देर के लिए संवाद हुआ, तो उसकी चरम परिणति क्या थी, एक राष्ट्रीय नहीं अंतर्राष्ट्रीय स्तर का उत्कृष्ट वैज्ञानिक संस्थान इंडियन इंस्टीट्यूट ऑफ साइंस की स्थापना। तो जहां पर अध्यात्म और एक पूंजीपति का मिलन हुआ हो, उसकी परिणति आप आज के डेट में समझ सकते हैं कि इंडियन इंस्टीट्यूट ऑफ साइंस आया। जब हम विज्ञान और अध्यात्म का एकीकरण की बात कर रहे हैं, और तब जबकि कुछ हद तक हम चीजों को समझने लगे हैं, कुछ हद तक हमारे पास ऐसे इंस्ट्रूमेंट्स आने लगे हैं जिससे हम अपने हार्डवेयर में जो परिवर्तन हो रहा है उनको, उनका प्रिसाइज मेजरमेंट कर सकते हैं, और उनको, उनका संबंध, सहसंबंध कोरिलेट कर सकते हैं कि ये किन कारणों से हुआ, और ऐसा होने से हमारे अन्य शारीरिक क्रियाओं में जो फिजियोलॉजी है उस पर क्या परिवर्तन है। 7-8 हजार पब्लिकेशन इसमें आ चुके हैं, और समय कम है, और उसका उद्देश्य भी नहीं है इस इस समारोह का, इस सम्मेलन का, कि उन सब पर आपका दृष्टिकोण दृष्टिपात किया जाए, लेकिन बाकी जो हमारे साथ पैनलिस्ट हैं वो आपको इस संदर्भ में विस्तार से चर्चा करेंगे। इन्हीं शब्दों के साथ आप सबका आभार कि आपने सुना, धैर्यपूर्वक सुना, और इतना ही नहीं बल्कि आशा भी है कि आप इस पर अमल भी लाएंगे और आगे चल करके अपने जीवन को तो स्वार्थ बनाएंगे ही बनाएंगे, साथ में आपके साथ जो जुड़ा हुआ ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम के साथ जुड़ा हुआ जो तंत्र है उस तंत्र को भी आप लाभ पहुंचाएंगे। बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद।
Thank you, Professor Avinash Chandra Pandey ji. He delivered a very good speech about consciousness and the essence what we understood. Science can be experimented, but spirituality can be only experienced. Anyway, we are trying to know many things about spirituality here, and I would like to welcome our eminent speaker, Padma Vibhushan Dr. Raghunath A. Mashilkar ji. Please welcome him with flowers and bouquet. And our next speaker going to give the keynote address. Please give a chance. I am going to introduce our Brahma Kumar brother, Dr. Ramjaim ji. He is connected with Brahma Kumaris since 20 years, practicing Raj Yoga, and he is now doing his research work in Center for Consciousness Studies, NIMHANS, Bangalore, and he is a neuroscientist, and he is going to give a very wonderful link between science and spirituality. Enjoy.
नमस्ते, ओम शांति, गुड मॉर्निंग। ऑल ऑफ यू आर टायर्ड, आई एम नॉट एबल टू हियर एनी साउंड। गुड मॉर्निंग, थैंक यू। सो आई विल टेक अनदर मे बी 15 टू 20 मिनट्स। सो आई विल बी शेयरिंग माई एक्सपीरियंसेस रिलेटेड टू स्पिरिचुअल रियालिटी, मिसिंग डायमेंशन इन रिसर्च एंड डेवलपमेंट। Let me just give some context for this topic. So the first instance, the question is, where from the split has come? You're talking about integrating science and spirituality today. When the split has happened? So it's all about 1540s. So during that time, in 1500s, there was this Council of Trent, 19th Council of Trent. So it's basically a council of Roman Catholic Church that was convened in the context of Protestants' Reformation. There were many deliberations that came out of that council of meeting, but one of the main rule that they have made out of that council of meeting was science needs to be separated from religion. There were some obvious reasons for that. One of the reasons was that was the time when exploration related to matter was growing very faster. One of the examples is Galileo's invention of telescope. All throughout history, it was religious authority that was ruling the land till then. But now, slowly the scenario was changing. Something else is coming up where religion is apparently taking a back seat. And this was a sort of threat for people who had this religious authority at that time, especially the Roman Catholic Church, one of the biggest community during that time. So what they decided was, one of the deliberations from this meeting was, those who work to explore matter in the name of science, you do your job, it doesn't matter for us, but don't cross the boundaries. Don't talk about religion. Don't talk about consciousness, mind, all these stuff. What will happen if you talk? If you talk, we will get our hands on you. We may even kill you. In fact, they did. And this was the route from where the apparent split of science from spirituality has actually started. But otherwise, as we all know, especially in our country, if not in other Western world, there was no such separation called as science and spirituality. It was all just only one thing. As Professor Mashalkarji was also telling yesterday, it was integrated in our daily routine life. The example of turmeric and the patent, which Sir was telling yesterday. Like that, all the spiritual practices were integrated in our lifestyle itself. There was no need to explore it as a separate science. So this was just a little bit of context. As a result of this, this Council of Trent, which happened between 1545 to 1563, many of the scientists, though they were interested in exploring spirituality, consciousness, all these kinds of stuff, they were not that much expressive. They were not explicitly working to contribute something. One of the examples is Isaac Newton. So we remember gravity whenever we hear the term Isaac Newton, but he was equally interested in alchemy also. He has written a lot about that, but all those things were done very secretly. He has never spoken very explicitly about all these things. So that was the result of this polarization introduced during 1500s. So is that the state now? Really, it is not so. There are a lot of research that is happening, and it has happened also in the field of spirituality. So this is a search result. I have just used the term spirituality. So PubMed search result was, it was showing some 26,982 results today morning. If we use other terms like yoga, meditation, consciousness, non-locality, so many other terms, keywords, if we use, the number would still jump higher. So there is no doubt that what was prevailing in 1500s or maybe immediately after that is definitely not the present scenario. A lot of research definitely happens. But still, the reality is something different. In fact, this is where the title was a little bit specific and interesting for me also. Initially, I just took it for granted that spirituality is the missing link in research and development. I don't know who suggested this topic. There was a term, one more term added to that, spiritual reality. Indeed, it is very much true. Definitely spirituality, it has gained entry into research and development, there is no doubt in that. But the reality is something different. What is the reality? After having done this much amount of research from 1960s onwards till now, the question still remains the same related to the hardcore stuff of spirituality. That is consciousness. What is consciousness? Till now, there is no answer for that. So this is the reality. But still, research, it keeps on happening. One of the best examples for this, why this is happening, is what is shown on the right hand side. There was a huge funding to explore about consciousness recently. Just in the August, the contest, they introduced it as a contest, exploring consciousness. Templeton Foundation funded heavily for this project. At the end of 5 years research, they called it as adversarial collaboration to explore consciousness. Adversarial means you tell whatever the theory you think is right about consciousness, I will also tell mine. Let's fight. Let's fight systematically and scientifically and prove each other who is right. The result was nobody won the game. Nobody won the contest. Why it was? The answer was very simple. It is just like I want to run towards Delhi. I am physically fit, mentally fit to run to Delhi and reach. But the thing is, unknowingly, for some reason, I am running towards Kerala or Tamil Nadu. Everything is fine except the direction. And this is the simplest answer why none of them could actually win the contest. Because all the theories which they proposed to prove or disprove in this contest, all of them were based on brain. But it is very much obvious now, even if some of the hardcore scientists cannot accept this, but still it's the reality, there is something beyond this physical reality, whatever the name you want to give. Be it consciousness, be it Atma, soul, psyche, whatever the name you want to give, there is something. What's the proof for that? There are so many proofs. For example, verifiable past life memories of children, childhood prodigies. There are lots and lots of examples for this. Even though most of these things are like case series, of course we cannot do a randomized control trial for all these things. Even though all of them are case series, but definitely today we cannot deny. Now with the advent of quantum mechanics and related stuff, all the more, most of us are willingly accepting the existence of something beyond physical reality. So the first thing, if you want to really bring the spiritual reality into the field of research and development, is change in perspective. If you do not change the perspective, what is going to happen? You will do your best, 100% effort you would definitely do. But finally, where will you end? You will not reach Delhi. You will reach only Kerala, Tamil Nadu. Otherwise, everything is perfect. So the first thing is change in perspective. When we say change in perspective, it doesn't mean like you ignore the matter and then do something else and become an aloof. It never means like that. It only means you already have high-end technology to explore the matter, just to become a little bit more inclusive and add the non-physical reality as well. So this is what I mean as change in perspective. So the first thing is change in perspective. The second important thing is practice. So when I had shown this much research has happened, of course, without interest in looking into a different perspective, this much amount of research would not have definitely happened. So it means definitely there is a change in perspective, at least among some scientists, if not all. But what is lacking very seriously today is practice. One striking difference between exploring spirituality and exploring matter is you cannot just read and explore spirituality. The only way to explore spirituality is, as the previous speaker also has mentioned, underlined that, practice, experience. When we say experience, many of the times people, they say that, they just dismiss saying it's all subjective. It has no sense. But it is really not so, because you cannot explore 100% as it is from a third person objective perspective about something which is completely non-physical. This is the ground reality. I'll give a practical example why this practice is very, very important. The reason is, extremes usually look similar. When I say extremes will look very similar, somebody who is on the road begging, not having anything, if you look at them, they will be completely joyful. They are joyful because they have nothing to lose. On the other hand, people who are enlightened, if you look at them, they are also completely joyful. They are joyful for another reason, because they are completely full. If you just look from a superficial level, it just looks same. But there is a day and night difference between how they are, whatever they are. So that is what this example which I want to give. In 1990s, maybe that was the first time when people, some of the researchers, started experimenting with this BK meditators, long-term meditators. I don't know, some of you would have heard about Dr. Shirley Tellis. So one of the most popular name in yoga research. So they wanted to do some research on Brahma Kumaris meditators, long-term meditators. So they took the teachers and they did the study, all those things. It was an MRI study. To their surprise, what they found was they had two conditions. One is like rest. Rest means you just sit and relax. Don't do anything. Don't do meditation. The other condition was meditation. They just want to see how the meditation is, the meditative mental state is different from just being relaxed. What they found was there was no difference actually. If you just give this result to someone else who is very systematic in doing research, they would just simply dismiss, saying there is nothing called as meditation. They are all just bluffing something in the name of meditation. Because anyway, I do not know what is going on in their mind. What I see here, it doesn't say anything. They are just looking similar. But then, these researchers, what they did was, they went back and they looked at the self-reports which all the meditators shared with them. And majority of the meditators, the sisters, what they have shared with them was, you are telling that you just sit and relax, but we really find it difficult how to relax. I am already relaxed. Finally, those meditators themselves in one of the talks during COVID time, what they actually expressed was, it was really something challenging for us to interpret the result, because we could see those sisters who were very calm and then composed. There is no doubt about that. We have observed them very closely, but the result was showing something different. We couldn't believe that. When they looked at the self-report, then they could understand the whole picture. And they just interpreted in the right way, saying they were already in the meditative state, so it doesn't matter whether it is rest or meditation, and that's the reason why it was throughout looking the same. So this is what I mean as practice. If the researcher is not having a first-hand experience of what it is basically, they might be a pakka researcher, there is no doubt about that, but still they might lack some understandings which might be very, very important to know what they have in their hands. A similar kind of thing has happened recently also. Some of the researchers in IISc, they also conducted the research. They know something about meditation, they know something about yoga, all those things, but not with the first-hand experience. After having got the results, they discussed for long hours, what is this, because we are not able to understand, though there are certain things which are showing strikingly different. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is, apart from change in perspective, the other key important thing that we need to keep in mind, as far as the researchers who are interested to explore spirituality is concerned, is practice. You cannot just read and then start doing the things, which happens very frequently these days, especially in Western countries, to some extent in India also. So it is reflected even in elite research institutions also today. So what I'm showing here is the RDoC criteria, research domain criteria for mental health disorders. To some extent, mental health disorders, exploring them gives lots of insights about understanding meditation. Why? Because it's very difficult to pinpoint where is the problem in brain, even though there are hundreds and hundreds of changes that happen in brain in people with psychiatric disorders. But still they have solid symptoms. And even now currently, the diagnosis is not based on any investigations. It is purely based on the physician's decisions based on symptom list. So this tells the complexity of exploring some mental phenomena, including meditation, of course, mental health disorders also. So this RDOC criteria was recently proposed a few years ago by National Institute of Mental Health, which is one of the apex institute in world for mental health disorders related criteria in terms of treatment and also research. So all through these years, people were just talking only in terms of brain, change in networks, genetics, molecules, circuitry changes, all these things. Strikingly, the most important thing which they have added in the recent criteria was self-report. Many a times, the moment when we say self-report, they say that it's all subjective, it has no value. But the problem is, when something is very private, first-person, subjective experience, how can you assess that with something which is physical? This is the most fundamental question. And there is no answer for this. And it is for this criteria of having self-report along with all the other kinds of hot stuffs related to brain or other kinds of molecules were added recently. In fact, it is very well known already from ancient times. So these are some of the verses from Bhagavad Gita. Of course, any of the spiritual sacred texts you take, be it Hinduism, Christianity or Islam, everywhere it is clear. What we are talking about, consciousness, soul, atma, it's something non-physical. And people who have practiced meditation for years together, they also definitely have the experience. When this is already clear, why are we still struck with the same old pattern, old criteria of the randomized controlled trials, of course, which are all gold standard for drug development and discovery. There is no doubt about that. But when we talk about experience, it's mainly about self-report and subjective experiences which needs to be included for sure. So in this context, what is required today is a paradigm shift in looking at things in a different way. Let me give an example and then stop here. The example is, if someone wants to say that yes, parachute works and it would save lives, if you think like, no, I first want to do a randomized control trial, one group with parachute and then another group with a dummy parachute and make them fly from above, what is going to happen? Intentionally you are killing people. So that is not the way actually to do. And in fact, we are trying to do that in the name of consciousness and related research. So if we can have this thing in our mind, it's easy for us to change the perspective, because unlearning things what we have already, even though we realize the need for change, the paradigm shift, unlearning things is the most toughest thing to do, and we all struggle with that. So with this, for want of time, I stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ramjamji. He tried a lot to take us gradually from physical world to subtle world. And of course, every physical aspect is having some subtle aspect at the back. For example, physical clock time and psychological time. In the same way, here we, Brahma Kumari, is trying to focus you on the subtle aspect of every physical things. Okay? And he quoted very few experiments, medical and scientific experiments, to prove his point. And thank you once again to Dr. Ramjambaiji. And again, I am going to invite our chief guest, Dr. Raghunath A. Mashilkarji, Padma Vibhushan. Is a former DG, CSIR, President, GREA, Chairman, INIF, Pune. Actually, our BISOF is having very big biodata and so many achievements. But if I start reading all those things, we will miss his important points of his own experience and his point of view. So having in the mind that we want to hear your speech than your biodata, so please deliver your speech in front of the audience.
ओम शांति। आदरणीय मंच और आप सभी देवियों और सज्जनों, मेरा जन्म 1 जनवरी 1943, 1 जनवरी 1943, तो मैं वहां बैठ के गिन रहा था कि आज का जो दिन है वो मेरी आयु का कौन सा दिन है, तो मैंने देखा कि वो दिस 29,094th मॉर्निंग ऑफ माई लाइफ। और मैं कहना चाहता हूं कि जीवन में जितने सुंदर सुबह आए हैं उसमें से एक बहुत महत्वपूर्ण, बहुत सुंदर ऐसी ये सुबह है। और इसका कारण मैं बताता हूं कि आज सुबह ही हम लोग कैंपस में जा रहे थे परम आदरणीय बाबा की समाधि को मैंने नमन किया, और ये जो एक्सपीरियंस था वो मेरे ख्याल में एक स्पिरिचुअल एक्सपीरियंस था जैसा मैंने पहले कभी नहीं देखा है। तो इसलिए सबसे पहले मैं आप सबका धन्यवाद देना चाहता हूं, सबको धन्यवाद देना चाहता हूं, और फिर एक दफा सुनीता दीदी और सुनील भाई, आप 15 बरस लगे आने में यहां, लेकिन दिस इज नॉट my last visit, this is my first visit, and there will be visits again and again and again and again, because like I say, we add keep on adding years to our life. This is a place which adds life to your years, so that's why the topic that has been given to us, this entire deliberation, is interaction of two profound realms of exploration, the fusion of science and spirituality. कल ही मैं बात कर रहा था, आप में से कितने महानुभाव यहां थे कल ये मुझे पता नहीं है, तो मैं थोड़ा रिपीट करूंगा। तो मैं कल कह रहा था कि चंद्रयान 3, चंद्रमा का जो साउथ पोल है, दक्षिण पोल, वहां कोई भी अब तक नहीं पहुंचा था, और ये बहुत गर्व की बात है। इट्स अ ग्रेट साइंटिफिक अचीवमेंट, एंड इसको पूरी दुनिया ने सहारा है कि हम लोग वहां तक पहुंच गए। भारत ये पहला देश रहा जो वहां तक गया। तो मैं पढ़ रहा था कि एस सोमनाथ जो चेयरमैन है इसरो के, उन्होंने ये चंद्रयान लॉन्च होने के पहले और चंद्रयान लॉन्च होने के बाद में क्या किया। चंद्रयान लॉन्च होने के पहले उन्होंने चेंगालम्मा मंदिर में वहां गए, और जहां उन्होंने प्रार्थना की, और जब चंद्रयान 3 मिशन सक्सेसफुल हुआ तो पूर्णिया काऊ भद्रकाली मंदिर जो त्रिवेंद्रम में है वहां गए और उन्हें प्रार्थना की, पहले भी और बाद में भी. पहले प्रार्थना इसलिए कि वो सक्सेसफुल हो और बाद में प्रार्थना ये कि ये सक्सेसफुल हुआ उनके आशीर्वचन. तो ये जो एक बहुत चर्चित विषय बन गया. और जब उनका इंटरव्यू लिया तो उन्होंने क्या कहा वो मैं पढ़ना चाहता हूं, क्योंकि आज की जो हमारी थीम है इंटीग्रेशन ऑफ साइंस एंड स्पिरिचुअलिटी, इससे वो बहुत मतलब लगता है. तो उन्होंने कहा, एंड आई विल कोट हिम एग्जैक्टली, आई एम एन एक्सप्लोरर, आई एक्सप्लोर मून, आई एक्सप्लोर इनर स्पेस. इट इज पार्ट ऑफ माई जर्नी टू एक्सप्लोर बोथ साइंस एंड स्पिरिचुअलिटी. चेयरमैन ऑफ इसरो इज सेइंग दिस. I try to find the meaning of our existence and our journey in this cosmos. We have to explore the inner space as well as the outer space. I do science for the outer, and for the inner, I come to temples. As simple as that. We cannot begin this conversation on integration of science and spirituality with a better example. All right? This is real life. This is not textbook. All right? यह अभी हुआ है. मेरे बारे में भी यही सही है. दो दिन के बाद में 19 सितंबर को हमारे घर में गणेश चतुर्थी का उत्सव है. 5 दिन चलता है और वो बचपन से शुरू है और मेरे जाने के बाद भी मेरे बच्चे करेंगे और पीढ़ियों तक ये परंपरा चलती आएगी, चलती रहेगी. तो मैं वैज्ञानिक हूं, श्रद्धा है लेकिन अंधश्रद्धा नहीं है. ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण बात है. साइंस एंड स्पिरिचुअलिटी में बहुत कुछ सदियों से लिखा गया. आपने अभी दिखाया कि नंबर ऑफ पेपर्स आर ग्रोइंग एक्सपोनेंशियली, है ना. तो उसके बाद बहुत लिखा गया है, किताबों भी बहुत है, रिसर्च जर्नल्स में भी बहुत है. तो उसके बारे में बताने में तो एक बात हुई, लेकिन टॉकिंग फ्रॉम माई बुक ऑफ लाइफ, माई जर्नी इज समथिंग आई थॉट आई शुड प्रेजेंट बिफोर यू, बिकॉज दैट समथिंग शुड बी न्यू, समथिंग दैट इज डिफरेंट व्हाट आई हैव एक्सपीरियंस. तो मैं थोड़ी मेरे बारे में बात करूंगा. मैं तो आपको जैसे जानते हैं वैज्ञानिक हूं, नॉन न्यूटोनियन फ्लूइड मैकेनिक्स, रियोलॉजी, पॉलीमर साइंस, इंजीनियरिंग, स्टिमुली रिस्पॉन्सिव जेल्स वगैरह, इसमें मैंने बहुत सालों से काम किया है. लेकिन आपको ये समझने में रुचि होगी कि वो क्या प्रेरणा थी जिसके वजह से मैं वैज्ञानिक बना. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, व्हाट इज द ट्रिगर, व्हाट इज द इंस्पिरेशन. आई वॉज बॉर्न इन अ वेरी पुअर फैमिली इन अ विलेज कॉल्ड माशेल, which is in Goa. My father died when I was 6. My mother was illiterate. In fact, she could barely read, write. She never went to school. So there is a big challenge. And to earn the living for both of us, she brought me to Mumbai. And she did any work that came her way. 2 meals a day was a challenge. There are a number of nights when I have gone hungry to bed. In fact, she was a great food technologist. She would cook meals by which I would not feel hungry at night. I walked barefoot until I was 12. I studied under street lights. And I remember in 1960, in the 11th standard, that was called SSC, Secondary School Certificate Exam, 11th at that time, they were not 10th or 12th. I had stood 11th among 135,000 students in Maharashtra state. And still I was going to leave education because I couldn't see my mother struggle. And then miracles happened. I got a Tata scholarship of 60 rupees per month. All right? And that is why I'm standing before you. That is how I could study as a matter. Now there is something interesting that spiritual experiences come to you when you least expect them. all right? And they change your life profoundly. So I'm going to tell you about three such experiences in my life which changed my life. The first was when I studied in a municipal school, studied in Marathi medium, by the way, where education was free. And then I had to go to secondary school. Now, for going there, my mother required 21 rupees. There was a uniform, there were shoes, there were other admission fees. Do you realize it took her 21 days to get that? And we borrowed that from a maid who was working in Chowpatty with a Gujarati family. It was her saving. And she gave it to me. But by that time, all the admissions to great schools were closed. Okay? And I went into a poor school. But that poor school had rich teachers. One of them was my science teacher. His name was Bhaveshar. And he did not believe in chalk and talk. He believed in learning, seeing, and doing. Not learning by rote, but learning by doing. And I remember one day he took us out into the sun. He had a convex lens in his hand. And he wanted to show us how to find the focal length. He had a piece of paper like this. He moved it up and down. And when the brightest spot came, for some reason he turned to me and said like this. When the brightest spot came, the paper started burning. And he turned to me for some reason and said like this. If you focus all your energies, you can achieve anything in the world. To me, that was an aha moment. I discovered something new. I said, science is so powerful, I must become a scientist. But at the same time, focus and you can achieve anything. And therefore, I have developed this particular ability to focus. No matter what noise is, where I am, etc., I can concentrate very heavily. And you all know the power of focus and the relationship between spirituality and the focus. Mindful meditation, having the inner peace, etc., etc. They all matter, you know, focus. And focusing is an extraordinary attribute. But when I grew older, I saw more meaning in it. What was the meaning? It was a very profound meaning. Convex lens is like this, right? And sun's rays are parallel. And what is the property of parallel lines? They never meet. What does convex lens do? It makes them meet. Alright? Why do we remain parallel? Why don't we meet? Race, religion, language, political divide, whole range of things. And scientists in particular, if I'm a chemist, chemist. I'm a physicist, physicist. We don't cross borders and so on. So they were lifelong learning for me. And I coined the term convex lens leadership. Convex lens brings people together. When I became director of National Chemical Laboratory, we had inorganic chemistry division, organic chemistry division, polymer chemistry division, division. I said nothing doing. One NCL, team NCL. And we did transformation of NCL, which was such that we became an international chemical laboratory. National chemical laboratory, international chemical laboratory, exporting our knowledge to the best in the world, as a matter of fact. You know, not bigger and baller, but actually sort of turning the corner around. This has now become a study, case study in Harvard Business School in their emerging economy. But the idea was there. And then I became Director General of CSIR, as you mentioned. What is CSIR? It's a chain of 40 laboratories. National Chemical Laboratory, National Physical Laboratory, National Aeronautical Laboratory. When I took over, 40 laboratories were 40 laboratories. They didn't talk to each other. I said nothing to him. Team CSR, one CSR. All right. And I'm very proud to say that whereas two laboratories would not talk to each other, when I actually left, there was a particular project, you know, where 19 laboratories were working together. And not only that, 11 May 1998, when we had directors' conference, all 40 directors signed what is called as the Bangalore Declaration, saying Team CSR, India matters to us, we want to matter to India more. All right? That is now considered, the CSR transformation, as one of the top 10 achievements of Indian science and technology in Jayan Narvekar's book. He starts with Ramanujan, then Raman, Green Revolution, and so on and so forth, and the CSR transformation comes there. Why I'm relating it to this simple experiment that my teacher had done on focus, on getting sort of people together. And if you look at the whole world today, what we require is a convex lens leadership. And that's why I'm very happy about the G20. I'm very happy about the way our Honorable Prime Minister has led the G20 declarations in terms of getting all together, etc., etc., because that is an essential part of our survival and success. So this one experiment, actually, as I said, was a spiritual experience for me, because when you have a spiritual experience, you get enlightenment and you see sort of a new world. The second one, I'll come to this turmeric. I mentioned about that yesterday, but for those who are not present, I'll repeat it. As you know, use of turmeric for wound healing has been known for centuries. My grandmother knew it, my grandmother's grandmother knew it, and so on. One day I was reading a newspaper, Times of India, and in the morning I saw that the wound healing properties of turmeric were patented by some United States researchers. I said, my God, this was old knowledge, how can you have a patent on that? Because patent is given when there is a novelty, when there is a non-obviousness, when there is a utility. How can something that is known in India for centuries be novel? So in the morning I read that, and in the evening I decided to challenge it. I was giving Hussain Zahir Memorial Lecture in National Physical Laboratory. Now, I was doing something I should not be doing, because I was Director General of CSR on one hand, but also Secretary to Government of India. Director General of CSR had all the freedom in the world. Secretary to Government of India, all that freedom was gone, because unless I take permission from Minister, I can't do anything. But I always thought from here, wrong is wrong, principle is principle. And I just announced it. I said, Jo Hona Hai Hona. And the country, of course, sort of backed me up. And we won it after 14 months of battle. And it had a great significance. Because later on, I became the chairman of the World Intellectual Property Organization, 176 nations. And there I challenged them. I said, you consider knowledge generated in Princeton, in Harvard, in Caltech as knowledge, and knowledge generated by my predecessors in laboratories of life and no knowledge, this is not all. And then we fought, we created an international patent commission to look at the entire thing newly, because they didn't consider traditional knowledge as knowledge at all. And we had from zero subgroup to 252 subgroups. And what we did was very interesting. I went to US Patent Office, and I remember I showed to them this turmeric patent, how wrong it was, because it was already dismissed. But I showed them 10 other patents. And I took Shoshu Slokas, English translation, their patents. And you said, this is what you thought was original? This is what my predecessors have done. And so on. And then took me to how they do the patent search. And showed to me, they said, when your turmeric patent came, we put turmeric, wound healing powder, kuch nahi aaya. Because jo tha, wo aapke to ek dimag mein hai, ya aapke kitabon mein hai. पुराने ग्रंथों में है. आपके मस्तिष्क में क्या है हमें पता नहीं, और आपके ग्रंथों में क्या है हमें पता नहीं. एंड दैट इज वेयर वी क्रिएटेड ट्रेडिशनल नॉलेज डिजिटल लाइब्रेरी एंड इट हैज 5 crore पेजेस बाय द वे. ओके, एंड ऑल दैट नॉलेज हैज बीन कैप्चर्ड. नो मोर रॉन्ग पैटर्न्स, बिकॉज दे आर नाउ मैंडेटेड टू लुक एट एनी पैटर्न दैट इज अप्लाइड फॉर. And you know, there's benefited not just India and all the world. So I'm telling you that story, and then you say, what does it have to do with spirituality? So I'll tell you how that arose. So what had happened was that for all this transformative change, there is an incident which had a spiritual connotation, which had the kind of impact. And what was that? I was director of NCL, and we were sitting in a summer evening in director's bungalow on the terrace. And suddenly a bird came and fell, and one wing was broken. And I remember my mother instantly went down, took some turmeric powder, made it into a paste, and applied to that bird. And that bird, my son Amey was feeding him with water, and that bird died in 2 hours. And we had fallen in love with that bird by that time. And we buried him in our garden, giving him a tearful farewell. And then, during dinner, I asked my mother, I said, मैंने उनको पूछा कि एक पंछी को आपने हल्दी लगाई, कभी ऐसे नहीं लगा आपको कि हल्दी तो मानव के घाव को, उसकी जख्म को दुरुस्त करती है, क्या वो पंछी को भी करेगी? What response she gave was very interesting. She said, मेरे लिए तो सारे जीवित समान है, वो जानवर हो, पशु हो, मानव हो, पक्षी हो या वृक्ष हो. वो पढ़ी लिखी नहीं थी, लेकिन उसको ज्ञान था. और मैं समझूंगा ज्ञान नहीं, अंतर्ज्ञान था. और if you just see now, there is this deep thinking in spirituality about interconnectedness. All life is interconnected in a complex web of relationships. Every life form has intrinsic value, right to exist, deep respect for all life, universal consciousness, that divine force that permeates all our life, leading to a perspective that sees inherent value and divinity in all our life. That is the fundamental of spirituality. Karma, jisko hum kehte hain, ke actually the one's actions have consequences influencing individual's future experiences, etc., etc. So there was this depth of spiritual thinking, but that came out in that one incident. Sometimes I wonder, had I not gone through that experience, would I have challenged that pattern? And would the history would have been created where traditional knowledge of the entire world got recognized? I don't think I would have. I would have read the paper, oh, how foolish they are, and just left it, isn't it? But that didn't happen. So I think in my own life, I have gone through such experiences. मैंने जो आपको दो उदाहरण दिए वो मैं वैज्ञानिक होने के बावजूद भी स्पिरिचुअल थिंकिंग हाउ इट ड्रो माई एक्शंस उसके बारे में था. बट इफ यू सी साइंटिस्ट, ग्रेट साइंटिस्ट, टेक आइंस्टीन, आई मेंशन अबाउट हिम इन सम अदर केसेस, ही रेफर टू हिज स्पिरिचुअल फीलिंग्स फॉर द मिस्ट्रीज ऑफ द यूनिवर्स एज अ काइंड ऑफ कॉस्मिक religious feeling, a deep sense of wonder and awe of the order and for the cosmos which guided his scientific inquiries. One of the greatest scientists. If you look at Tesla, his understanding of universe was deeply spiritual if you go through his work, and he attributes a lot of his scientific breakthroughs to his spiritual thinking. If you look at Carl Jung, he introduced the concept of synchronicity, that is the kind of spiritual or mystical principles. And if you look at Newton, by the way, Newton's ideas of universal gravitation were partly influenced by his theological perspective of a universe governed by the divine and the unifying principles. I mean, talking about Newton, I must tell you about the third spiritual experience of mine. You know, the highest science prize one can get is Nobel Prize. I'm an engineering scientist, so I don't get, we are not qualified for getting Nobel Prizes. They're for pure sciences, like chemistry, physics, and so on. So the highest is what is called as Fellowship of Royal Society, FRS. Royal Society, the oldest society, 363 years. And in 363 years, there are only three engineering scientists who have become fellows of Royal Society from India. One was Professor Roddam Narasimhan, aeronautical engineer. He's no more. So there are only two living ones. One is Professor M.M. Sharma, my guru, and second is myself. Only two in last 363 years. But the interesting thing about this is that when you become fellow of Royal Society, you sign in the same book that Newton signs. And therefore, and it is done, by the way, that signing is done in the same way that Newton did. There is an ink pot, there is an ink, and you dip your pen and then sign. And in fact, we are made to practice, because you can't take the ink twice. So once you have to take enough to finish your signature. All right. And if you take too much, then you spoil. They show you a page which has been spoiled. Don't do like this. In fact, along with, there was a Nobel Prize winner who said it was easier to get the Nobel Prize than to practice that signature with an ink and so on and so forth. So signing that, I can tell you, was a spiritual moment in my life. You know, I say that having looked at all these spiritual experiences and what it meant, I want to move on to my last topic, which is what can spirituality do for the world? It is not what we can do for spirituality. What is it that spirituality can do for the world? Like I said yesterday, the three Ds, digitalization, decentralization, decarbonization, are going to be critical. Hum climate change ki baat kar rahe hain na. Can climate change and spirituality go together? Abhi solar energy aayegi, wind energy aayegi, green hydrogen aayega. That is what we are looking at. We are all looking at technological fixes, isn't it? I myself am looking at that. Reliance is going to put $50 billion, and I'm the chairman of their new energy council, and we are looking at a 100 gigawatt world's largest solar plant, you know, with 2 lakh square kilometers, etc., etc., etc. But fundamentally, to my mind, it is not the science but the behavioral science that is going to matter as far as climate change is concerned. And within that comes spirituality. For example, the respect and reverence for nature, advocating harmonious living with nature, is fundamental in preventing climate change. Let us understand that. Spiritual principles of environmental stewardness are important. Alignment of karmic principles of responsible living are important. We keep on talking about sustainable development. We have to talk about sustainable consumption. You know, using less resources. In fact, I remember I had coined the term Gandhian engineering. All right, which became quite popular. And what is Gandhian engineering? Mahatma Gandhi had said there is enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. That means use our exhaustible resources carefully, less and less, so that you can get more and more. That is getting more from less. And he had also said that the fruits of science must reach the poorest of the poor. That means for more and more and more and more people. Not only the current generation, the future generation. That became more from less for more. There is a spirituality in more from less for more. All right? Bahujan Sukhaya, like we sort of basically say. In fact, C.K. Prahlad and I wrote a paper in Harvard Business Review on innovation's holy grail, getting more from less for more. How businesses can do well by doing good. Doing good itself can be sort of a business, and that has become the best sort of top 10 must-read sort of papers. So I think for a challenge like climate change, you can quite clearly see how spirituality, the essence of spirituality, is going to be very critical. Also, we live in a VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous. We have COVID, then we have conflict, and we have climate, three C's. And there I feel that resilience is going to be most important. And therefore, fostering emotional resilience, promoting community connection, compassionate approach. Even in COVID, when people got isolated, it was the spiritual bondings that actually made the humanity survive. I think spiritual practices such as meditation, mindfulness, provide individuals with inner strength, emotional balance, sense of purpose. They teach us to accept failure as a natural part of the journey. Main hamesha kehta hu bachcho ko, fail, F-A-I-L, first attempt in learning. Alright? Your best guru is your last mistake, as long as you learn from it. And a spiritual mindset actually gives you that ability to bear failure. Why did Chandrayaan 3 succeed? Because Chandrayaan 2 failed. And from Chandrayaan 2 failure, they learned everything. That became their guru. And that's how they actually became successful. So, by bringing together science and spirituality, we can foster a holistic approach of well-being, where individuals are not just physically healthy, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually fulfilled. I like to end, because I've been given 20 minutes, I'm sort of close to that. I would say that getting science and spirituality together presents a well-rounded approach that leverages strengths of both rational inquiry and spiritual wisdom to enhance human well-being in a comprehensive manner. Aur main kal India aur Bharat ki baat kar raha tha. Bharat kaisa hone chahiye? I am dreaming Bharat at 100, by the way. Not just India at 100, but Bharat at 100. And I would say it should be santulit, susanskrit, suvidya, sushasit, swast, surakshit, swanandi. And swanandi is peace within and peace outside. You know. And therefore, I also believe that peace within and peace outside cannot come unless you bring science and spirituality together. We talk about the spiritual university. I think everyone should be a graduate of the spiritual university before he becomes a graduate in the outside world. And there is something wonderful when you come in. We talk about a better world. And that better world can't be created, according to me, without the integration of science and spirituality. And as I said, we showed leadership in exploring the outer space. We have shown leadership in exploring the inner space, and India will continue to be the leader in exploring the inner space. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Raghunath ji. He not only won over the award of Star of Asia, but also our hearts. He won our hearts through his valuable speech. And I hope you all enjoyed a lot, even in yesterday's inaugural session. And I feel personally proud to hear from the awardee of Padma Shri, Padma Bhushan, Padma Vibhushan, and many international awards. And we are inviting you again and again to the conference to hear your valuable words. It's our humble request. And our next speaker respected Parthasarathy K. Mukherjee, Chief Technology Officer, Sidel Systems, India and USA, and an internationally experienced engineer, scientist, and polymer whose work has encompassed multi-disciplines, as diverse as energy, environment, chemical engineering, medical, automobile, computers across the world, working with some of the finest scientists, engineers, institutions and organizations in these fields, and seeking to work with team of diverse multidisciplinarians to directly impact the core fields of focus in today's world. I'm once again inviting respected Parthasarathy Mukherjee to deliver his speech.
Om Shanti. It's my privilege to be before you all. Respected Mashalkar sir, my guru, honorable members of Brahma Kumari, and honorable delegates. Am I audible? Okay. I would like to say that speaking after Dr. Mashalkar is like batting after Sachin Tendulkar. So it is best done to hit a few boundaries quickly and then retire hurt rather than tread. So I will start with a quotation from a great poet, T.S. Eliot, the winner of the Nobel Prize, because it is said that poets are the greatest scientists, because Albert Einstein said, the universe is not only stranger than we think, it is stranger than we can think, and it is only poets who can think beyond what normally we think. So T.S. Eliot said, where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? And where is the information we have lost in data? Today we are bombarded with data, information, facts, figures. But what we have lost in it is that spirituality which we wish to integrate. More information, more knowledge, more facts does not get us there. So what does get us there? It has more enlightened speakers than me have already mentioned, it was not always so. In our ancient culture and in our ancient Sanatana Dharma, we never differentiated between science and spirituality. In every text which was written, mathematics, astronomy, metallurgy, medicine, it always invoked spirituality. There was no distinction between them. So when did this distinction start coming? As Dr. von Neumanns mentioned, it was something in the West which they tom-tommed as the age of reason, that by logic and reason alone we will find all the answers to the mysteries of the universe. Well, this fallacy was very easily disproved. It is said mathematics is a science most based on logic and reason. Well, one of the greatest mathematicians who walked the earth, our own Ramanujan, who is known as the man who saw infinity. They made a movie about him, the man who saw infinity. When he was asked how did he get his insights into his axioms and theorems, he said, my family deity gives it to me when I meditate. So where did your reason and logic go? The same has happened innumerable times throughout history. So spirituality and science are the same because both seek the answers to the essence of the universe. Quantum physics was mentioned quite often. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle tells us there is a limit to what we can know merely by experimentation and physical means. Finally, I will go to the greatest proof that science and spirituality are not separate. They are one. They are just two names for the same thing. The man who is known as the icon of all scientists and has found more out about the universe than anyone before him, who gave us relativity, space-time, and every other concept, Albert Einstein, never performed a practical experiment in his life. He only performed thought experiments. He would go within him, conceive something, and rigorously test it in meditation. And that gave us all these wonderful theories which have revealed so much of the universe. His conclusion, if you go within, you will find the answers to everything external. What else is that other than meditation? I end it with a quote from our most beloved scientist of recent times, Dr. Abdul Kalam, who is beloved of us all. He said, God has created everything within us, all the potential, all the answers. Look within, pray, meditate, you will find it. Jai Bharat, Jai Hind.
Thank you, Partha Sarabhi ji. Very shortly he finished. And now we are going to do an inner journey by commentary going to given by our lovely sister. Her name itself lovely, and her commentary also make us to experience love with God. And I am inviting Rajyogini, senior Rajyoga sister, lovely Bain, or she's from Delhi and she is practicing Raj Yoga since 28 years. Please come and take us to the world of God.
Om Shanti. Gyan se pare है विज्ञान और विज्ञान से परे अध्यात्म या स्वयं का ज्ञान. तो चलिए आज हम उस कहानी को याद करते हुए चलते हैं जिसमें राजा जनक ने एक महल घूमने के लिए किसी को कहा कि आपको अगर स्वयं को जानना है, आध्यात्म को पहचानना है, तो महल, अपने सपनों का महल, आइए हम भी आज अपने सपनों के महल में अपने आप को देखेंगे, अपने आप को बहुत सुंदर रचना रचेंगे अपनी, परंतु अपने साथ ले चलेंगे एक जगता हुआ दिया. दिए की कंडीशन ये है कि दिए की लौ बुझने ना पाए, और वो जगता हुआ दिया आप सभी है. जो हमने जीवन जिया है वो ही मेरा दिया. आज मेरे साथ मेरे श्रेष्ठ सुंदर विचारों के साथ मेरे साथ है. मैं अपने उन सत्य सुंदर जो मैं अंदर से और बाहर से दोनों में से मेरा अंदर का जो स्वरूप है वो बहुत सुंदर है. वो मेरा जागता हुआ जगता हुआ चैतन्य दिया अनुभव करेंगे कि ये मेरे साथ. मैं शांत और सत्य चमक लिए हुए इस कॉन्शियसनेस के साथ एक महल में प्रवेश कर रहा हूँ जहाँ मेरे कदम पड़ते जा रहे हैं और मेरे विचार साकार होते जा रहे हैं. मेरी एक सुंदर कृति जो मैं भीतर से हूँ, जो मैं बनना चाहता हूँ, जो मैं पाना चाहता हूँ, मैं वो स्वयं को देख रहा हूँ. एक शांति, एक प्रेम, आनंद की सोच के साथ इस संसार में सभी को अपना मानते, सभी का सत्कार करते, सभी से एक सकारात्मक सोच के साथ मिलते, मेरी अपनी वास्तविकता कब बनती जा रही है, इसका मुझे पता ही नहीं चला। तो आइए देखते हैं अपने उस सुंदर गुणों से भरे हुए सुंदर स्वरूप को। जहाँ मेरा ही ये स्वरूप राज सिंहासन पर विराजमान है, अपने आत्म स्थिति के दिए से हम देख पा रहे हैं। हम सुशासित हैं, शक्तियों में संपन्न मेरी आंतरिक शक्तियां, मेरी बाह्य कर्मेंद्रियां सब शांत है। हमारे साथ हमारी सुप्रीम पावर की जो पावर्स है वो भी हम अनुभव कर रहे हैं। मैं उस क्रिएटर की क्रिएशन, उसको याद करते हुए और अपने आप को समझ पा रहा हूं। वह जगत नियंता, वो लिब्रेटर, वो सुप्रीम फादर, जो उनके गुण मुझे अनुभव हो रहे हैं, वह क्षमा का सागर, प्रेम का सागर, उनके समान मैं भी। सबको क्षमा कर, सबकी बातों को भूल कर अपने आप को जहां तक होगा उस क्रिएटर के जैसा बना कर के चलना है। वह मेरे परम पिता परमात्मा और मैं उसकी सुंदर रचना, उसके गुणों और शक्तियों को स्वयं में बटोरते, अनुभव करते, संसार में उसकी रचना को देखकर सबके साथ इन्हीं गुणों के साथ चलूंगा, ये मैं स्वयं से और परमात्मा से प्रतिज्ञा करता हूँ। उसकी बनाई इस दुनिया में, इस रचना में मेरा भी बहुत सुंदर रोल होगा, उस रोल को मुझे अनुभव करना है। ओम शांति।
थैंक यू लवली बहन जी। और अभी हम लोग गेस्ट को ममंटे से ऑनर करेंगे। आई एम इनवाइटिंग सिस्टर्स टू ब्रिंग द मोमेंटो।
जो भी रिसीव किया कल उनके लिए टोली दिया जाएगी, प्रसाद दिया जाएगी।